What is humility? What is humility? What is humility? Let me give you my working definition of humility. Humility is an honest evaluation of oneself in the light of who Jesus is. An honest evaluation of oneself in the light of who Jesus is. In other words, when you tell the truth about you in the light of Jesus Christ and who he is. So, let's check it. Let's check your level of humility this morning. In fact, all of ours. Let's check our level of humility this morning. Verse 1, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 1. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Everybody there? Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Together, come on. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. All right, so, quick background. There's an issue that is brewing in the church of Philippi. Now, it's not Philippians, the church at Philippi was not like the church at Corinth. It was not like the church at Galatia. These people were stable, were for the most part faithful. They were involved with missionary support. They were involved with supporting of the work of the Apostle Paul. They were involved with all the things. Sound doctrinal church, good church, strong church. But there were some internal strife that was going on. We know that because in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul calls in one of the leaders and says, meet with Syntyche and Euodias. Those are two women in the church, and the sisters. Paul says that they were faithful sisters to the ministry, etc. But there was some contention between the two of them that had not been settled and resolved. And what was starting to happen is the membership was beginning to take sides. They were beginning to side up with one or the other. And Paul puts this letter in there and tells them, shut it down. Get it straight, and you know, let's move on. Now, the first four verses of Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is speaking to them, and he's telling them, this is the kind of church you ought to be. This is what you need to do, right? Based on the issues of consolation in Christ, fellowship of the Spirit, so on and so forth, he then says, literally he's saying to them, he says, the way you see one another is important. The way you view one another is important. To the point where the way you view one another is going to come out in the way you treat one another. How you see one another is how you treat one another, right? Verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5. Now, he lays out all this stuff. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, of course, he's encouraging them to get this thing settled, get this thing straight. And he wants them literally to start doing some things in the light of their communion and fellowship with one another to give an indication that they see each other differently, right? Because the way you see each other is how you treat each other. Are we together? All right. The goal is to cause them to look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, right? To hold the other person in esteem. Well, how do I get there? How do I start doing that? Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Here's the issue. I will never see you the way I ought to see you as long as I'm seeing you from my own perspective. As long as I'm looking at you based on how I see you, I will always treat you lesser than, because the truth of the matter is that I have a high opinion of myself. And I'm not going to let you somehow degrade or diminish my view of myself. Not going to happen. But Paul argues, if, verse 5, we will develop the mind of Jesus, then all of that changes. And the only reason why he presents this is because he wants us to understand that Christ is the model for what he's trying to teach them. Jesus himself is the model. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, well, what kind of mind did he have? Paul would say, I'm glad you asked. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. First of all, he is God. Number one, he is God in a human body, but he's still God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, watch, and took upon him the form of a what? And was made in the likeness of, watch this, so that God became a man, stay with me, and never stopped being God. His humanity did not diminish his deity. You got it? He was 100% man and 100% God. Fused together in unique fashion. You got it? Watch. Verse 7. Made himself of what? Of no reputation. God, deserving all glory, all honor, watch, affection and attention from his creation, and literally put himself in a position to get none of that. He stepped down. What kind of mind did he have? Verse 8, together, come on. And being found in fashion as a, he what? And became obedient even the death. Y'all see it? Even the death of the cross. The point that Paul's making is that you can't go any lower than dying on the cross. That's the point. And he humbled himself to the point of taking on that responsibility. That's the kind of mind he had. Listen. What Paul is arguing is that no human being who tells the truth about themselves can see themselves in the light of who Jesus is and walk away thinking that they're all that. You cannot be that important when you look at yourself in the light of who Jesus is. You cannot be that important. All right. It's early Saturday morning and y'all ain't here. Nobody can be that important if you see yourself in the light of Jesus Christ. You can't be. Amen. I'm not sure. They come to get him out the garden. Temple soldiers are there and they rising up. And they show up. Jesus does a couple things. Peter grabs his knife. Now, mind you, we haven't seen Peter's knife the whole time he's with Jesus. There ain't been no knife play. But this particular evening, he decides it's time to, so he grabs his knife, pulls it out, cuts this boy's head off. Ear off. Gets his ear, right? And Jesus tells him, put that thing down. Put it down. Grabs the man's ear, puts it back on. I'm sorry. If he ain't the coolest dude to ever walk, man, dude standing there. Jesus grabbed the ear, put your hand down. Bam, there you go. Go on about your business. Here again. Here it is. I'm sorry. It's too early. I did take my meds this morning, so I'm all right. All right. So, I'm sorry. Come on. All right. Okay. Looks at Peter and he says, we ain't going to get confused and cut up in no knife fight in the garden. We ain't got no time for that. He said, first of all, if I wanted to get out of here, knives ain't the way that we do that. I ain't gonna pull out no sword, hand to hand. I ain't gotta do none of that. And the reason I don't is because what you don't see is that there are 12 legions of angels standing on the portal, right? If it looks like, if they get the slightest indication that I don't want to go with them, the only thing that's holding them back now is the fact that I have not given them the indication that I really don't want to do this no more. If they sense that I don't want to be here in this situation, all of you, disciples may be included, all of y'all going down. They're waiting for me to give them the word. Do y'all understand humility? Do you really understand what humility is? Listen, humility in terms of its function and act, when you know you can outdo your opponent and you choose not to do it. When you know you can, you walk away. When you know you can do it, you walk away. Humility. God, let's see. First Peter. chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 5. Amen? Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with what? Watch. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Wait. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may do what? In due time, right? Now, what? Due time. You got it? The closing words of verse 6. In due time. Now watch. And in the meantime, until such time as he exalts you, in the meantime, verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Point. Peter is saying that those who walk in humility, God has plans for. But those plans don't always play out when we want them to. But Peter says, in the meantime, while God is working those things out in our hearts and lives that ultimately bring glory to him, you don't have to carry the stuff that's going on in your life while you are being processed. You're in the process of becoming. Hear what he says. Verse 7, here's what you do. In the meantime, pray. Casting all of your, whatever is making you anxious, whatever is making you nervous, whatever is getting on your nerves, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Message is that he cares for us while we're in the process. And sometimes that process can be painful, it can be disappointing, it can be hurtful, round down the line. And Peter says, when you walk in humility, God has a plan for you. And he's working that thing out even in the midst of the process. So don't carry it. Let him have it. James. The epistle to James. I believe that's chapter 5 as well. Is it? Was it chapter 4? No. I'm looking for, yeah, there it is, chapter 4. Thank you. Verse 6. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. James chapter 4, verse 6. Together, come on. But he gives, wherefore, he said, God resists, but he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You walk in humility, you keep the mindset of who You are in the light of who Jesus is. Keep that mindset. And God provides grace after grace upon grace upon grace. He provides grace after grace after grace after grace. He showers you with the grace necessary to deal with the issues in your life. Have mercy. So what is humility? It is an honest evaluation of oneself in the light of who Jesus is. When I see who Jesus is, and then tell the truth about myself in the light of who he is, that's when I am walking in humility. That's when I have the right attitude as it relates to my prayer life. In fact, that attitude impacts every area of your life, every single area. Now, what is a good kind of expression of this? Here's the deal. Let me show you this. Go to Psalm 95. Find the book of Psalms 95. Psalm 95. I want you to look at verse 1. Hold on, that's not it. Before you shout. I can't read my own writing. I'm sorry. Maybe I should have said that in public.